On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. More change is afoot for Democratic leadership in the legislature. We have State Senator Janet Bewley of Mason, who announced in recent days she will not seek re-election in November. Here is a bit of roadmap for our discussion with the outgoing minority leader. Redistricting, as the Wisconsin Supreme Court has said, it will take a least changes approach to the current political map boundaries. Labor market shortage, a slate of bills aimed at rebuilding the workforce with changes to safety net programs. And we start with the changing face of the Democratic Party in Wisconsin. What should be the top priority of Wisconsin Democrats going into an election year? 800-642-1234. State Senator Janet Bewley represents a large swath of northwest Wisconsin, including Superior, Ashland, and Rice Lake. State Senator Bewley, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate being on.
Well, given your upcoming retirement, what are your key priorities over the next 10 months?
Well, first of all, we have about three more floor sessions ahead of us. We're going to be going to the floor next week, and we're going to be taking up quite a few things that I anticipate many are going to be relieved to hear that the governor will veto. And those have a lot to do with election reform, as the Republicans like to call it. It's very important that we voice what I believe is the public's concern that the Republicans are looking for a problem to continue with their plans to limit people's access to voting. So we're going to be taking those up, and that's going to be a very, very significant part of our time in the next floor session.
So voting very much on your mind. The state Supreme Court ruled Friday that it won't take up the challenge to absentee drop boxes. That was a lawsuit from Republican gubernatorial candidate Rebecca Clayfish. What is your response to that?
Well, I think it's part and parcel with what happens every time the Republicans ask for a legal opinion about their objections to our election process, which is they're unfounded. In every legal attempt that they have made to either prove election fraud in the last election or to find more and more ways to limit the access to vote, the courts are saying, no, you can't do that. There is no fraud. This investigation is unnecessary, unfounded. And I think more and more people are realizing that the Republicans are fumbling on this issue and are desperately trying to keep it alive.
Along the lines of voting, legislative Democrats said at the end of 2020 that they needed all hands on deck in order to fight for fair maps and fair representation for Wisconsin voters. And now that the maps are in the hands of the state's high court, what is your party strategy now?
Well, right now we're waiting. We're playing a waiting. We have to wait because all of the maps that can be considered by the court, including one that was drawn by the group that I am in, the Senate Democrats, they are all have been accepted because they do follow the least change that the court demanded, unfortunately. And we're just waiting for them to select one. We believe that's the strategy that they're going to take. We don't think the court is going to draw a new map, but all oral arguments are done, and it's just a matter of the court telling us which map they like the best.
Talking with Janet Bewley, Democratic State Senator and Senate Minority Leader, represents a large chunk of northwest Wisconsin. You can join in. What questions do you have for the State Senate's Minority Leader? What should be the top priority of state Democrats going into this election year? 800-642-1234. Let's talk a little bit more about the party. You're not the Democrats' only leader to step aside. Gordon Hintz, the Assembly's minority leader, left his post last month, mulling over as to whether to run for re-election. Younger members are now becoming leaders. We have Kaylin Haywood of Milwaukee and Representative Greta Neubauer of Racine. What effect might you see of those types of changes, a newer generation, on the party's future?
Well, first of all, I think it's absolutely necessary. We have a lot of people that are well beyond retirement age. I'm sure that all, if not most, if not all, are very loyal people that want to do what they believe is the right thing. But sometimes the right thing is to get out of the way in order to make a path to public office for younger people. The state legislative seats are usually the best next step for many young office seekers. And with so many young, strong, very, very bright people waiting in the wings, I believe that when it is time for someone of my age to move along, it's the right thing to do. I'm very, very proud of the time that I served. Without a doubt, it's the most rewarding work I've ever done in my life. But when the time comes to choose to retire, and I am beyond retirement age, I think it's the right thing to do. People will not, I'm not going to disappear, but I'm very excited about the fresh young minds that are coming into politics.
But what about your district? You were reelected to the state Senate in 2018 with 51.1% of the vote. Are you concerned that your district could flip in November?
The district that I represent has always been purple. Purple's a good thing. Purple means that we have a good balance of all kinds of opinions because the district itself is very diverse. I think that democracy is based upon the presence of a minority or many minorities. Our democracy is also based on the minorities having a voice. And I think that if it was just one party in either direction, in any direction, that is not what democracy is about. And it requires that those who are in the minority to be very articulate, to reach out to their constituents in a very attuned sense to why people feel differently. It made me a better legislator. It makes me a better legislator because I have to understand all sides of arguments, but I'm still a Democrat. Democrats still get consistently elected in the North. We have people that are anxious to run as a Democrat, and I think that we will keep the seat. I believe we will win it. There's good things ahead for Democrats and for the people of the state of Wisconsin.
And when you say anxious, you mean eager, not exactly anxious as in scared to run.
Oh, exactly. Thank you. That's
sure,
true.
Sure.
They're eager. They're very eager to run. That's right. There's a little anxiety in a campaign, without a doubt. But no, there are good people that are now serving in office all across the northern part of the state. And I'm pleased that they are interested in running.
Well, I think I'm hearing this sentiment from you because you once said compromise can be a dirty word in politics, mm-hmm. but not to you. Do you think that still holds true when you see the divisiveness, you see the tribal politics, the deep divisions, and what happened after the 2020 election?
I believe it more than ever because compromise means, number one, you're listening. If you close your mind to other points of view, you close your mind to potential solutions. And compromise is a dirty word in our state, not by everyone, but by too many, because they believe that you're going to compromise your values. You don't. You don't have to, and I wouldn't expect anyone to compromise their values, but they might have to compromise on how quickly their ideas get adopted, how fully sometimes you only get 50 or 70 or 80% of what you ask for, but at least you're moving, you're getting in the right direction. Rome wasn't built in a day, and we cannot turn away from getting the momentum that we need to get the change we deserve.
We're in conversation with the state Senator Janet Buley, Democrats' outgoing minority leader. How should the legislature address workforce shortages? What about housing issues? What do you want lawmakers to understand about what you're experiencing at this point in the pandemic? Where are the greatest gaps in support? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap with Senator Buley here on the Ideas Network. You are with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Outgoing Senate Minority Leader Janet Buley here talking about policy issues she wants to work on in her remaining months in office. Announced in recent days she will not run for re-election. Is your business or community feeling the effects of a worker shortage? What would help? How do you feel about proposed changes to unemployment and other safety net assistance programs? Would the workforce in Wisconsin be better in a different way? How do you feel about the Healthcare Heroes Act? 800-642-1234. Democratic State Senator Janet Buley with us for about 10 more minutes. Let's bring on a caller now. Becky is joining us from Hustisford. Hi, Becky.
Hello there, and thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to say a big thank you to Senator Buley for all the work that she's done, not just for those who are members of the Democratic Party and not just for those in northern Wisconsin, though I'm very partial since I'm originally from Bayfield County and went to school in Mason, but the work that she's done, and as she says, is going to be continuing in trying to push back against the misinformation about the elections, the unnecessary attacks that have been leveled against people of both parties who've just been trying to administer on a local level their elections in a fair way, who've been accused of engaging in illegal acts when all they're doing is trying to help their local elections proceed in a safe and fair manner as they have done for decades. And thank her again, thank you, for pushing against the Republican legislation that would really decimate our actual fair voting in Wisconsin.
Becky, thank you for calling in. Senator Buley.
Well, Becky, thank you for that. You probably know that that wonderful little school in Mason where you attended is still being used. 4-H and all kinds of dinners and meetings take place there, but also that's where people vote. And the wonderful people who man the booths, who make sure that all of the processes go on smoothly and accurately, are to be thanked for their service, not condemned, not questioned, not accused of committing fraud. It's a wonderful community. Those communities are all over the northern part of our state. Many wonderful places. I often think I want to take photographs of where people vote and where people post their mail. We have some of the most wonderful little places where people vote and tiny little post offices that are so important to the community. And they're all taken care of by very good-hearted people who are not out to cheat anybody.
I want to look closer here at the workforce issues facing Wisconsin. We saw Republicans introduce a package of bills aimed at addressing workforce shortages. Among things in this package, making changes to unemployment benefits and food stamp eligibility. And you have said these bills don't get to the root of the problems. How should Wisconsin address workforce shortages?
Well, first of all, we need to understand it. The default setting for the Republicans is that somehow there's a mass of people who are cheating us and staying home and collecting unemployment because they're lazy. That cannot be further from the truth. Now, if the unemployment rate is that low, and it is, it's very, very low, it's under 3%, that means that's how many people are collecting unemployment. So there isn't a huge amount of people that we have to beat up. Some of these bills are harsh and they're punishing people on unemployment when the fact is these people need the help. They're not cheaters and there's not that many of them that if they all went back, if they were all able to work, we would not solve our problem of the of worker shortage. Also, people are allowed to choose not to work if they don't want to. This is a democracy. People that choose not to work and do not collect unemployment are perfectly entitled to choose that. This is a free market economy. We have to provide a work situation that they choose. This is a free market. We have to compete for the people who are ready to or are looking for a different job.
But what about... what about people who don't show up for job interviews or recipients who are receiving the unemployment benefits who refuse a job offer?
Well, that's already on the books. You can't, you know, that's if you are cheating, that's called fraud. And we don't want fraud. And there are laws already on the books that address that. So what the Republicans are saying, well, we have to make it harsher. We have to whip them harder and make them go back to work. And that's not identifying how you solve the problem by going to the one thing that you think is the source of the problem and beating them more. And then they're going to go to work. That's just a very bizarre solution in my mind.
One thing I know that you really want to get at is access to affordable childcare and strengthening children's education to remove those barriers to employment or unemployment. How would you do that?
Well, you know, that is a very important point, and it's one of the things that I think is overlooked, that there are people who would work if they could, but there's a barrier in the way. Childcare is one of those barriers. Transportation is one of those barriers. And also just the fact that there are some places where they have highly technical jobs that aren't filled and the people don't have access to the education or training that they need. And we can help with that. 3-year-old kindergarten, to me, is a wonderful, wonderful solution. But then we're going to go to another place. The schools are underfunded. In some cases, the 3-year-old kindergarten programs do not receive some of them don't receive the kind of state support that they need. And we have a shortage of teachers. So it's a multiple solution approach. We have to make sure that teachers first are respected and paid so that they are going to want to work. Again, you can't beat them up to make them go back to work or choose to be a teacher if we're going to continue to flog them. Again, this is a free market economy. People buy what they want to buy and they work for the most part where they are made to feel like they're valuable. And I believe that we have to look very much at what would make people want to work where the jobs are needed. And again, that's what we do about products. And we hear over and over again, competition is good. Well, is competition good when you are trying to find someone to work for you? Is it your responsibility to make that job more attractive? I believe that's part of the solution.
Janet Buley with us, Democratic State Senator and State Senate Minority Leader. Inflation pain is real. We've seen soaring prices pose a real challenge. How should the state address the rising costs of goods?
Well, you know, in many cases, the price of goods, including things like gasoline, take a national approach. Inflation is one of those symptoms of our economy that can be tweaked by the federal government. When it comes to the actual inflation rate and gross national product, the kind of indicators that we look at nationally, those usually have the kinds of solutions that are addressed on a national level. That's not to say that the state doesn't have a role. We can make sure that we keep the middle class and those of lower incomes in a place where we don't suddenly have fluctuations where we have shortages. Now, for example, with the pandemic, when people got the stimulus money, when they got the APRA money, they went out and they bought goods. They didn't go and buy expensive durable goods. They went out and they bought the things that they need to keep in their homes. They bought butter, they bought bread, they bought canned goods, they bought toilet paper, they bought all the things that they can put in their cabinets, which is a natural way to go. They didn't go wasting it. And it saved many, many families. The Biden administration and our governor made such wonderful decisions about how to help our state stay out of a recession. But it did cause a supply shortage for many things. We also know that our infrastructure at our harbors, and our transportation system, particularly rail, is outdated. And again, Democrats want to infuse the states, and the governor wants to distribute program money to improve the railroads and our harbors and our roads, and that is being done.
State Senator Buley, thank you for joining us.
Been my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Janet Buley, Senate Minority Leader, represents a large portion of Northwest Wisconsin, first elected to the legislature in 2010, recently announced she will not run again. Stay with us. More State Cap to come after a news update on the Ideas Network.